Greetings and salutations. Welcome to the Vookcast episode 65, the official podcast for Vooks.net, Australia's longest lasting Nintendo fan site. I am your host, Daniel Worthington, and joining me this week we have community manager and reviews guy James.
Hello.
And Scott, moderator? I forget what you do.
Miscellaneous, yeah.
Hi. Staff member Scott.
Janitor,
okay. It's been a few weeks. I apologise for the lawnmower in the background if you can hear it. But yeah, it's been a few weeks since last episode. I blame mainly nothing going on and the flu on the delay, but we are back for another episode, and because it's been so long, we do have a fair bit to talk about. So we'll get into first things, as usual, with games played. I think that one of the big things from the previous week is the 3DS XL was just released, and James, you've picked one up.
Yes.
So tell us your experiences with this new device of awesome. What colour did you get?
This was like the biggest decision I've ever had to make in my life.
Not silver.
You've had a hard life.
I don't know, because I didn't know which colour I wanted to get. Like, I wanted to get all of them, but obviously that's not viable.
Is it like, you know, deciding? Is it like deciding between the front seat and the back seat? Which seat are you going to take?
Which seat will you take? Which colour will you take?
Wow. It's not. How old is that joke?
Oh, probably over a year, isn't it now?
I don't know. Anyway,
it's got nostalgia now, so.
But I definitely have the outro song already, so.
Oh, okay. Anyway, I didn't know which colour to get, and I was really, really torn, and then I looked at all of them, and they're all really nice, so, you know, I didn't know. And then when I went to get mine, like, because I ordered one colour, and then I was like, well, I'll have a look at the others when they come in, but the only one left was red and silver, and so I picked red.
Oh, you nearly gave me a heart attack.
What's wrong with silver?
Well, silver, you know what? Just... I like the silver. I don't know. But then I didn't get it, because I thought, nah, it's boring. It looks like the old DS.
I really like that phase Nintendo was going through when all their systems had this chrome silver finish. Like
no,
with the GBASP.
They're so dull.
Yeah, so I got red.
I don't know. Yeah, I just think they just look a bit more, I don't know. Blue and red look a lot more like a toy, I guess.
I think you look like a toy, but... Yeah.
But they're fun and colourful.
Okay.
I don't know, the thing is, like, red, red is, like, I think, like, Mario and Mushrooms and Nintendo.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. The thing is, like, you know, I'm never looking at the back of it, I'm always playing it, so...
It's black on the inside, isn't it?
Yeah. The thing is, do you know what I wish they would just do? Why don't they just do press-on covers or something, like with the Micro? I think that would be cool. But
that was an awesome idea. I've really want to track down one of the transparent covers for my Micro one day.
Okay, let's not get sidetracked.
Micro's so good.
No, yeah, anyway. The, so I played, the first game I played on it was, I can't even remember this. New Super Mario Bros. No, the first game I played on it was Resident Evil The Mercenaries, because I couldn't find my Revelations cartridge, and I just wanted to see what, like, a good game looked like, and I don't have Kingdom Hearts anymore.
Did you get rid of it already?
I gave it to a cousin.
Okay, cool.
And the, it looks like, I mean, the thing is, it doesn't look better. Well, it does look better, but, you know, like, the graphics are still the same, really. It just looks...
stretched out a little.
It's not, no, it doesn't... That's the other thing I want to talk about. Like, it doesn't even look that bad stretched out. Like, I thought when they announced that the screen was bigger and they were going to, like, make everything bigger but not increase the resolution, I was kind of like, ugh. Like, yeah. I was like, that's not going to be very good. But, I mean, with the menu text and stuff, obviously, on game, like, the menu... for the 3DS, it looks a little bit more blurry. When you actually play games, it doesn't look any different, and it's almost like the games were made for that screen as well. It's really weird. Like, I thought it would be blurrier, or it would be less sharp, or more jagged, but it doesn't look that bad at all. And I, like, feverishly played, like, 5 games just to see if any of them looked weird. I think I tried Street Fighter again, I tried Super Mario... I tried Mario Kart, I tried something else.
Kid Icarus?
Escapes me. No, not yet.
I've heard that looks pretty good on it.
Yeah, I'll get back to that. And I did try Kingdom Hearts before I gave it away. And yeah, it looked, it's really good. It feels good. It's not as heavy as I thought it would be, which is nice.
I'm guessing you haven't. Have you tried any did you try the Ambassador games on it?
Or? Oh yeah, I've been playing Yoshi's Story quite a bit on it, and you know they look much better than I thought they did too.
Because I've heard that, especially people describing playing a lot of DS games, like because they're the pixel graphics, they do look better when blown up a bit.
Yeah, I don't know. The thing is, but this could be because I haven't played the advanced version of Yoshi's Story, not Yoshi's Story, Yoshi's Island. The screen kind of scrolls a bit weird, but that might be because I've never played, as I said, the advanced version, so maybe that's why it scrolls a bit weird. That's what that game does. I played, and the 3D classics look nice on it as well, Kid Icarus, Enix, Sci-Fi, as well as, I played Super Mario NES Golf, just to see what a NES game looks like, and they all look really sharp, it's weird.
Out of all the NES games, you chose Golf.
I didn't. Well, because I remember once I played that golf game when as a kid, so I was like, oh, it's the same one. Because, to be honest, I never downloaded the Ambassador games. Well, I did, but not all of them. So, I only downloaded all of them when I got my Excel, because my transfer process botched as well, which was quite annoying.
Hang on, what happened? How did it botch?
Well, I don't want to really talk about it too much, because I think I'm the only person who's had it done, and I think I must have done something wrong. Because I don't want people to be like, oh, it doesn't work! You know what I mean? Like, and report all these crazy things. But,
start a panic.
Yeah. Everyone evacuate. My system transfer process, for some reason, took about 4 hours. It stuffed up twice. And it, the third time it worked, but then it only transferred my DSi software over, and that was just my stuff from the US store, like Shantae, Mighty, Mighty Milky Galaxy, whatever the hell it is, and something else.
Not a fan of that game.
Well, that's not the point. And then, all my 3DS software was gone, and I don't know why. I mean, obviously my account carried over because I could re-download it all and stuff, but I just hope that, everything is fine.
Maybe,
you know what I mean? Like, I hope something hasn't gone wrong behind the scenes that will bite me in the ass later.
All of your software would have been on your SD card. Did you transfer your SD card over?
Yeah, I did. That's why I'm confused. I don't know what happened. I don't know if I did it wrong. And it's not like I'm tech illiterate. Like, I know what I'm doing.
Was your software on the original SD card that came with the XL? Because maybe it just transferred all the software over to that SD card.
Yeah, I tried both. I called both over to each other. I don't know what happened. It just didn't work for some reason. And I've noticed when I play games that I've already played, like, say, Mario Bros. 2, it prompted me to create that extra spot pass data, even though I'd already done that. But my save games were intact, so I don't know what it was.
Does the, what's the thing I'm thinking of? What about all your game stats? Do they carry over? Like your play times and...
Yeah, all that stuff carried over as well. So I don't know what happened to mine. But yeah, I just had a shit experience. But I mean, I don't think that I am in the majority. I think I'm one particular case because no one else seems to have had any problem. But yeah. It's good. I love it. I just wish that there were more games now.
There are plenty of games on the 3DS.
Yeah, but I want more.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, I've got... mine's only just shipped, so I should have that early next week. I've got the blue one coming in. Sort of spewing that there's no white one, because I'd be getting that, because that just looks amazing, what the white one Japan's got. Would you... Okay, if someone doesn't have a DS, a 3DS, would you definitely recommend this to them over the original?
Well, it depends. I reckon it depends, because the XL is quite big. So some people might, not... The non-portability of the XL might be a bit not good for them. But to be honest, I reckon the XL is just so much better in every way. Like, the build quality is just better. It doesn't feel as cheap. Like, the 3DS does feel kind of cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's just there's something weird about it. Like, it just doesn't feel right. But the XL feels solid. It feels... I don't know what it is. It just feels better. But then, yeah, I don't... So, like, if I was recommending it, I would recommend it to someone, but I would let them know that, obviously, it's not going to be as portable. But that's my only concern, really.
Okay, cool. Okay, I think that's about as much as we sort of talk on that. So I should have mine by next episode, so I'm looking forward to getting my hands on it. Actually, just a quick question. Did you get a new case with it?
Nah.
Okay.
It was... There were none. Like, I don't know if they're not releasing them yet, or... It was a rushed release, I don't know, but there was, like, hardly any when I went. There was one that was, like, a denim cat. It just looked terrible. It's like, I'm not 10. I didn't want it. It just
was that the Mario like one?
It had, like, a mushroom. I think it had a mushroom on it.
Yeah, I've seen them. They're like, DSi XL ones. And
I'm thinking I'm the only thing, you know what? The only thing I don't like about the 3DS XL overall is, like, for me to be able to touch the start or home buttons, I have to kind of physically change the way I'm gripping the console. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can't reach it super easily. But besides that, everything else is fine.
Cool. Okay, so yeah, we'll go into actually some proper games now, and the big release recently has been New Super Mario Bros. 2. I think we've all been playing that. Scott, you've been playing that as well?
Yep.
Cool. So who wants to start us off on that?
I think you should.
No, you should. I'm the host. I'm delegating.
That's not even a job. But,
yes, it is.
Where do I start?
Well, it's a new 2D Mario game. Go.
Yeah, it's good. The thing is, I don't like talking about this because I feel like an idiot saying how much I love it and how I love all the new stuff, even though apparently none of it's new, because I didn't play it the first new Super Mario Bros.
So yeah, I've got the original DS one. I picked it up recently, but I've not played it at all.
I played the Wii one briefly.
Yeah, same. I just couldn't get into it. I don't know what it was.
It's weird. Yeah, I don't know what it is either, but I really couldn't. But how do you say it? I love, I love how, like, you know, there's all these enemies in it, and they all look like you recognize them from Super Mario World or Super Mario Bros. 3 or whatever. And, you know, they're all done. There's so much nostalgia in it for me. But then at the same time, I realize that apparently, you know, it's all the same assets as, like, previous games, so it's really not anything that new or groundbreaking.
Well, it really is. Like, everything looks identical.
Yeah, and like, it makes me wonder, like, how the public is going to accept New Super Mario Bros. U.
I think that'll be accepted a bit. I mean, just because you look at that, the way the backgrounds are, they look graphically different, I know. You know what I mean? They do look very different to what's... Well, I mean, I've seen comparison shots saying they're actually sort of based on the Super Mario World backgrounds, which sort of, like, mind-blown. Sort of thing, but that's sort of a style they've not really gone after a lot.
Yeah. I mean, this game in particular, New Super Mario Bros. 2, it reminds me a lot of Number 3, like the NES one. There's just so much, like...
Oh, God, yeah, like the block, like the way some of the platforms are. I mean, the power-ups, like with the raccoon tail being back, and just...
Wasn't the raccoon tail back from 3D Land?
No, that was the Tanuki suit.
Oh. Okay.
Tanuki suits where he's got like the full
that's right thing on. It's good. Like, I'm loving it. Like, I'm up to like the second last world. I've 100%ed everything so far. Like, I've found every coin, found every secret world, all that stuff. But I don't know. I really love it, but so many people seem to hate it. Not hate it, but, you know, they don't like the fact that
I think I can understand for people who... I mean, I do look at it, and I mean, from what... I think in New Super Mario Bros. Wii, I got up to the second world before I sort of stopped. And, I mean, it does. It's a lot like that. Like, the first world's your sort of foresty thing, normal, easygoing. And then it's desert, and then it's a water, and then it's an ice and a ghost area, and so on and so on.
That's one of my biggest gripes with it.
Yeah.
I don't like how the themes are just... They're identical to the other two.
Whereas you look at, like, the original Mario games, and it's... Or Mario 3, and it's like, a pipe world where there's just lots of pipes everywhere, and then there's a giant world with giant enemies and giant blocks and stuff.
Well, there's like, so the thing is, that's like,
well, because all that stuff has just been basically integrated into the normal fiends anyway. Like, you do still have levels that are just lots of pipes and stuff.
Yeah, like, I played a level that was so similar, like, it was just all made out of pipes. Then I played another level where you get a mini mushroom at the beginning, and then it basically becomes giant world, you know? But,
yeah.
I don't know.
I'm not going to fault the level design, because the levels do feel interesting and varied, and there's lots of interesting stuff going on, and I don't think I've played a level that feels like a level I've played before, and you just keep wanting to play to see what the next level is. But it's just the theme surrounding those levels, and I don't know, I mean, it feels wrong complaining about a Mario game being a Mario game, and looking like a Mario game, if that makes sense.
Do you know what, the only thing I hate, and I can't stand this, I don't know if it's because I've gotten older or something, but I hate how every single level, the middle boss is the Reznors, and...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
I mean, it's
lame.
It's cool the first time they're there, like, oh, sweet, Reznor's back, and then it's like, oh, Reznor, oh, Reznor again, oh, there's four of them now, but
yeah,
having said that, I like how it sort of, each one is different to the last one, and they do get progressively harder.
Yeah, like, the last one I played was, you know, there's eight of them, and there's no ground, so you've got to jump
on
the platform, and that's kind of cool, but, I mean, that gets boring. And then, the Koopa Kids, but then again, the other thing is, I'm complaining about this, but it's been in every game before this, how the Koopa Kids just, like, you jump on them three times and they die, like, it's so simple. And, like, there was one, the last battle I did was with the guy, I think his name might be Roy, and... Like, I jumped on him, like, three times before he even got to attack me, you know? It just...
Yeah, like, I mean, I got challenged... Easy. I got challenged by Wendy in the underwater one, because that was just sort of a bit hard. But other than that, they've just been all pretty, you know, blah.
Yeah, I can't really comment on that, because I'm only, like, about halfway through the third world. But the first two ones were pretty easy.
Yeah, they are. They're just too easy. I like how they mix things up, like in the secret world...
Yeah. What about the, what am I thinking of?
Coins?
We'll get to that in a second. the 3D effect. Because it's subtle, but have you sort of messed with the slider and just look what it does?
Yeah, the worlds get blurry.
I think that's kind of cool.
I don't like that.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I feel like you lose half the detail.
Yeah, but I like that it does still give it depth, because, I mean, when you do look off in the distance, stuff sort of gets... blurry and there's less detail.
The thing is, like, I don't know, I don't feel like I'm meant to be using it as, like, you know, a horizon viewing sim. It's more of a game, so I want to, like, see everything.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay, Scott said the coins, and I'm sort of the only one who really likes that feature a lot.
Well, see, when they announced that feature, I thought that was really awesome, and I was thinking, oh yeah, that's going to actually make this game really different. But then when you actually start playing it, it's just like, oh yeah, get as many coins as you can, but there's really no drive to, because there's no real reward for doing it.
Oh, yeah. The reward is terrible.
I haven't read it, I haven't spoiled it.
Yeah, I don't know what it is either.
But are you going to collect a million coins?
I don't know, I've got like 6,000 at the moment, so probably not.
Possibly.
Oh, don't do it. You will be so disappointed.
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I'm definitely going to finish the game.
Definitely.
I'm about 5 or 6 hours in. I'm up to world 5, and I've played one of the secret worlds, so it won't be that hard to get through. I haven't even looked at coin rush mode yet. But I don't know. I like the coin thing, and I hate it at the same time, because I, as much as I rag on... Rare's old Banjo-Kazooie games and all that, because they're just huge collectathons. Secretly, deep down, I like collectathons, because I have a very obsessive, compulsive, hoarding sort of trait in me. I mean, like, when I play Fallout 3, I have to get everything and store it, because it's all mine. And in this game, I have to get every single coin I see.
Yeah, I really like the premise of it, because it gives you another goal apart from just getting to the end of the level, which is really nice in a 2D Mario platformer.
Yeah.
And it also gives it a really nice, like, arcade feel. I don't like how many lives you get as a result of it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on, like, 220 or something.
Yeah, I've got, like, 65 and I'm up to the third world.
That's it's, what I really hate about it. It's just, like, there's no challenge there.
Mm.
But, I mean, it is good because then, I don't know, because you do let yourself take chances because you do have that buffer there, but it also gets to the point where it's like, well, what's the point of having lives then if I'm never going to run out? I mean, it's like Rayman Origins didn't have a live system, I think. Did it?
No, it didn't.
Yeah. And, I don't know, maybe they just have lives in there because that's the thing Mario's always needed. I don't know, I think it would have been good if they had like, I don't know, a casual easy mode where you do get lives every time you get 100 coins, and then more of a hardcore, or more of a, you know...
Where you don't,
Yeah, where you don't get lives every time you get 100 coins, so you have to be a bit more careful. Because it just takes that challenge away and just makes it feel a little too easy. But I've heard once you get to the final world, things pick up a bit, and you'll actually be losing more lives than you get.
Oh, I can't imagine losing, like, 210 lives.
No, yeah. God, no. Am I the only one who's succumbed to using the white suit once?
Well, I'm not that far, so
I think I used it. Oh, no, you don't have to be far. If you die 5 times on one level, it just appears.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you don't have to
get that. I haven't done that yet, then.
I felt really bad when I finally did get it. I'm like, oh, okay.
I think I got it once, and that was because, you know when, like, you play a game like that and you're in a rush and you just want to get through that level that you keep dying because you're rushing?
Yeah.
Yeah, especially, like, where, like, you have to beat, like, the castles to save.
There's other ways around that. I mean, if you use your star coins to unlock one of the...
Well, yeah, but I like saving them all up to the very end and then just going wherever I want.
But you can quick save.
Yeah.
You can?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you press start on the map, you can just quick save and then it takes you to the title screen.
That would have saved me a lot of time.
Yes, it would have. It would have quick saved you a lot
of time. Because you couldn't do that. I'm pretty sure you couldn't do that in the original DS one. You had to either beat the mid tower, or beat the castle to save. It was really annoying.
But I'm sure that they would.
And I mean, it's still a DS. It's a 3DS. So if you just want to pause, just close the lid and come back later on.
Yeah. That's true as well.
But so I always leave it on if I do that.
Forget about it. That's messy.
Yeah.
Sorry?
I feel like that's messy and, like, something might go wrong.
Might get corrupted.
Nah. I said that's one of my favourite features of the 3D, of just the DS, 3DS, and also my PSP Go, because when you close the PSP Go, it just puts the game into pause mode, so you come back later. And, I mean, I love that if I'm playing a game and then I just want to take a break, I can just close it, and then I open it up again, and I'm exactly where I was when I left it.
Yeah, it was a good feature, it's really good if you're, like, just going to, like, I don't know, make a cup of tea or something.
Well, because I catch the bus to work in the morning, so, like, when I'm playing an RPG, I play, like, 40 minutes of it, close it, and then when I come play it on my break, I'm exactly where I left off without having to save. It's a great little feature. Getting sidetracked, though, from Mario.
Hmm.
Is there much more we really need to say about it? I mean, it's a good, well-made game. The level design's great.
Solid game, worth playing as far as I've played so far.
The coin flower is just, like, oh my god, amazing once you've
got it. That is very fun, yeah.
And then, cool. You feel like you're like, poof, like destroying
everything.
I love how when you shoot, because the fireball doesn't just kill what it hits, it kills everything around it as well.
Mm.
And it's just like, holy god, I am the Omega, I am the Destroyer. Everything flee from me. And then you get hit, and you're like, no, I've lost it. Those things are hard to come by.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But yeah, I mean, it's a good game. I think I'm the only one who got it digitally.
Yeah,
I got retail.
Just because my situation makes it a bit cheaper. Although I did, I've...
It's not really, because you bought it twice anyway.
Yeah, I know that. Well, it was up on the US store... and it was there for $40. So I thought, you know what, I may as well get it. But I already had an order with Amazon, so I cancelled my order with Amazon and then bought it from the eShop. And then I got an email from Amazon saying, we cannot cancel your order, it's too late. I'm like, oh, crap. So now I've got two copies of the game.
Yay.
Woo!
I was going to say, one thing I do like, speaking kind of the power-ups, is, you know, the coin block thing that goes on Mario's head?
That's awesome.
That's so cool because it challenges you to run through the level faster so you get more coins.
Well, doesn't it just get to 100 coins and then it stops?
Does it? See, I don't know.
I think so, because I've noticed if you just sort of stand there with it, if you just walk around slowly, but if you run faster, it goes quicker than if you just walk slowly.
I guess. Well, I like seeing them all come out, like, just stream out, so it's a lot of fun just, like, running around and going as quick as you can. I like that. I think that adds to the gameplay.
I've got to check out the Coin Rush mode. But, I mean, I like the whole idea of it just feels like the... Because there have been... Like, speedrunning has become a big thing in the Mario games.
I used to speedrun in, like, Mario 3 just because I could.
Yeah.
Like and I said, I'm, it, like, I'm, really excited
this game
when
feels
they
like it has it. A big emphasis on it. Which is a cool direction for them to have, like, properly take the series in.
It just doesn't seem fully realized, like the whole coin thing and the whole speedrunning thing. It's like, oh, this is a cool idea, but they haven't really... They didn't manage to flesh it out.
I like how, though, what's
disappointing about it.
Yeah. I think it could have been a lot more... I mean, I feel, just looking, like, there's only 8 worlds. I just wish there was a bit more... A few more worlds, more variety, as we've said. The levels felt a little less linear. Like, they go for this whole Super Mario Bros. 3 theme, but they had... pretty big sprawling maps that you could go in many directions, and these just still feel pretty straightforward and linear. Although there are off paths you can take and shortcuts. Sorry. I think we've done, it's a good game. Yeah.
If you like Mario, if you like platformers, you're going to like it. That's the
Oh yeah, this is
going to
sell. I think. But going on to another Mario game that came out last year, because James has decided to jump on the backloggery bandwagon with the rest of us, and one of his games he's got on there is Super Mario 3D Land, which you're having interesting opinions on.
Why don't you like it? I don't know what it is. Okay, fair enough. With Mario Bros. 2, you know, we've got a simple platformer from left to right. And then this one is like, you know, it wants to be like Galaxy, but it's just got none of the scope of Galaxy.
I think I like that, how the levels are a lot more...
I was
sort of annoyed first time I played it, because I liked how with Galaxy you could just explore the level. This doesn't really give you that option, but I think it finds a good midway point between the 2D and the 3D.
I don't know what it is. I can't get into it, but I'm going to try to because I want to finish it.
Where are you up to in it?
I think I'm up to World 5.
Okay.
Is
it also that it might be a bit too easy, you think, this stage, or...?
It's not real. I don't think it's easy. I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it. I hate how... I think in that game, it's the same deal with, you know, the Reznors in number 2. Like, every single enemy boss in that especially is those... What are they called? Bow Wows or Pow Wows or something?
Chain Chomps.
No, those... They're,
Those weird things that hit you. They were in number 3, I think.
Keep talking and I'll try and find out for you.
I hated that. Like, I don't know. I just feel like there's no variety. It just doesn't. It doesn't feel proper. I mean, the one thing I do like about it is it seems to be the first game that actually uses the 3D properly for gameplay. Like, there's a lot of puzzles and stuff that use 3D.
Oh yeah, Well, there is some, but not a lot. If it makes, I mean, they should have gone a bit more with that, I think.
You reckon?
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, the thing is, I haven't played all of it yet. I am still undecided on what I feel about it. I don't know what it is. I just don't like it.
I remember they said, like, the whole idea of it was to, like, try and introduce those who are really fond of the 2D Mario games to, like, a 3D perspective for the series, like, the introductory thing. I remember they said that in, like, one of the What It Asks features or something.
Mm.
Do you think that... have they accomplished that, or...?
It works well in that regard, but then I don't know what it is. I just don't like it. I feel like it's not rushed. It just doesn't feel like it has the same kind of
polish,
charm and soul of the Mario. I don't know what it is.
See, I'm the opposite. I think it has plenty of that, and just the levels just feel perfect, and just I don't know. I love it. It was my favorite game of last year.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. And yeah, they were called Boom Booms.
Boom Booms.
Because they were the only bosses, right?
Oh, no, there's Pom Pom as well.
Oh, yeah, but she was like a female Boom Boom.
Yeah, with a boomerang. I don't know, I just the world, I mean, just the game looks amazing. I mean, one thing I should have got on with New Super Mario Brothers 2 is I hate the music. Just the themes, just, it's that la-la bit it has in the background, and it just...
I hate that. I hate that in all the new games.
And the
enemies dance. So dull.
But in Mario 3D Land, I love
the music.
It
was funny the first time.
I still like it.
I love the music in 3D Land, though. It's just... because it complements the level so well, and... have you gotten to levels which are sort of like the blocks in outer space, and whenever you jump... the platforms change?
I can't remember.
Or are these ones where, like, the blocks sort of disappear in the background?
I remember ones where if you jump, they change direction, or the platforms change position. I remember that.
And then there's these other ones where if you... the blocks sort of disappear in time with the music. And it just... oh, I love the soundtrack. I wish I could get a hold of that soundtrack. I would listen to it every day.
YouTube?
I don't know. I loved it. It's probably one of my favourite Mario games. And
it's really weird because all this Mario playing has led me to go and buy the cartoons that I used to watch as a kid.
Mama Luigi. Oh.
Like Captain N and
Mario
World. Yeah. I don't know, they're good, but they were like $20 at my local place. So
serious? That's so cool. I used to watch the Mario one and the Sonic one.
I remember the Mario ones being quite terrible, but $20, and, you know, I'm on a weird nostalgia Mario kick, so...
why not?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm... because I'm so... I remember the old Pac-Man cartoon series. I had, like, a video for that. VHS kids were getting old school. And I just remember I had, like, two VHSs of the original Mario series, which is awesome because Toad got a Fire Flower one, and that was brilliant.
I had one on video. It was the one where Mario is mistaken for some mummy woman's daughter. It really makes sense in the Mario world. But
I had one where Mario got knocked out in the jungle, and then some gorillas found him, and then he became Marzan. And and he's swinging around in vines with like ripped clothes and stuff, and they're all sort of really rubbishy public domain sort of storylines and crap.
Yeah,
I liked them. Wow. I thought they were great. It was weird how sort of a mix of Mario Land, Super Mario Brothers 2, and then Super Mario Brothers, because you had like Shy Guys and stuff.
We must have different series, because I don't remember being.
Oh, there was like several series.
Because I remember there was Super Mario Bros. 3, the series, and then there was Super Mario World, which came with Captain N.
Yeah.
Did you have a different one to that?
There was the one before that, the first one, which had, like, Captain Lou Albano, an old wrestler guy, who would be doing the voice of Mario, I think, and had these live-action scenes.
Oh, God. Live-action.
Yeah.
I think we're getting off topic.
Yeah, we are. Let's get it.
Next topic. James, Kingdom Hearts 3D.
I have started off every time.
Yeah, well, then we'll do
I can speak about my feelings on the demo.
That makes more
sense. We segue into the demo, and then we move into the full version.
Okay, Scott, you start with the demo.
The presentation values were great and amazing and whatnot. But I didn't really like it. Like, I didn't know what to do. Like, there was, like, a really, like, evident lack of direction, I thought. Like, I was just in this town, flying around, killing enemies, and I had no idea what I was supposed to be doing.
I suppose that's the problem with the demo. Because it's not really made as a demo, it's more that they've
dropped you in the middle of something.
Yeah.
I didn't like that, and I didn't really like the combat. The combat felt clunky.
I loved the combat.
It just...
I mean, I
didn't...
I wasn't... Ex- expecting, like, Devil May Cry or something, but the combat... I mean, I understand what you mean by clunky, kind of, I think.
It's just awkward. I didn't really know what to do.
Did you use, like, slow motion a lot? Or
the slow motion?
No, flow motion.
Oh, that's like when you, like...
Because it needs its own original term.
Yeah. Is that when you, like...
Like, everything turns purple and, like, you can, like, dash and do spinny moves and shit.
How did you do that again? What did you have to do to pull that off?
Like, you could roll into a wall and then that would activate it, or you could roll into a pole and that would, like, you could spin on it.
Yeah, and, like, run up the pole and do a backflip.
Like, do this crazy Japanese anime shit.
I don't know, it didn't seem... Maybe because it's just a demo, but it didn't seem very well explained for such a complex system.
Yeah, that's true. I honestly had that problem as well when I started. Because I'm such a Kingdom Hearts nut, so I didn't mind picking it up anyway, and it worked out to be good.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, it's hard to judge a game on a demo, but the demo didn't sell the game to me.
Yeah, I was going to say that the demo should do that anyway, so I think, I don't know. Yeah.
Okay, well, moving into the full game then, James.
Yes.
How is it? I have it lying around, I've not touched it, because I've been... I'll get to what I've been doing for the last month and a bit.
It's good. I finished it quite quickly. Like, it only took about 26 hours, and I know that sounds like a lot of time, but for a Kingdom Hearts game, it's not.
Given how long I've just spent on my last game, it's not a lot of time.
It's cool because I'm so happy that finally Nintendo got a Kingdom Hearts game where all the worlds are unique and haven't been done before.
Oh, how's the musical world?
Yeah, that's the standout one. I was kind of getting to that, but you decided to...
Sorry. I'll shut up. Yeah. You talk, Sir James.
It's really cool because, like all the other games, you know, like, when you go into a certain world, like, for example, when you go into Tron, all your, like, your hits...
Jeff Bridges!
It's not actually Jeff Bridges, though, is it?
It would be awesome if it was.
Whoever it is, they sound really similar, but I don't think it's him. Like, when you go into the Tron world, you know, you're all wearing your Tron outfits and stuff, and, like, all your little hit sparks are Tron-themed, and they make Tron noises, so each world, your attacks, like, fit in musically with the soundtrack, and that's quite cool. I love that. There's so much small attention to detail. And when you go to the Fantasia world, which is the one that everyone seems to be talking about, all your, like, your battle cries, your grunts and all that of your character are muted, so all you can hear is the music of, like, Fantasia, which is quite cool. It's really well put together. It's obvious that they, like, both Square Enix and Disney have, like, a high attention to detail. Or Square Enix don't, but Disney are pushing them to have it. Just so much, like, there's so much little effects and little things that you notice that are really good. In terms of, like, how good it is compared to other games, it's, like, it looks better than Birth by Sleep on the PSP. I don't know if any of you played it, but,
No, because I only have a PSP Go, and that doesn't get to come out to the PSP Go.
I'm really angry because I really want that game, but I've got a Vita, and they won't put digital.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, the only thing I don't like about 3D is I hate the fact that the worlds are so big that there's nothing in them. But then that's also, that has really been a problem with the whole series for so long anyway. Like, you know, you've got these giant worlds and, like, the Hunchback of Notre Dame world. There's, like, you know, the Festival of Fools, but, like, there's, like, no one there.
The rest of all life.
Yeah, like, there's just no one there. And I'm like, what kind of festival is this? and it is, like, that's the only thing I don't like about it. There's another thing. The companions in that game, instead of being, like, Donald and Goofy, like all the other games, it's it's more or less, like, these weird Pokemon crossed with Nintendogs creatures that you can catch and create. They level up, and as they level up, they learn skills that you learn permanently, which is I love that idea. But to do it really well, you have to, like, pet them, like, feed them things, rub them to make them happy. And, you know, like, just the stuff that just, it doesn't feel right for a Kingdom Hearts game. I mean, it feels right for the audience, I guess. but I don't know, it just doesn't... I spent way too much time doing that when I wanted to.
So, I mean, I've only really played one Kingdom Hearts game. That's Kingdom Hearts Recoded on the DS. Mm-hmm. I've always been interested in the series, but I never owned a PlayStation 2, and Birth by Sleep didn't come to a system I could play it on. So, as someone who's really not played a lot of Kingdom Hearts, is this going to be really hard to get into? I mean...
It won't be hard, okay, like, physically, like, not physically, what's the word, like, mechanically, it's not hard to get into at all. Storyline-wise, you'll be lost. There's absolutely no way that you'll be able to follow the game. It is, like, more or less...
Is there like, primers, or like, does it give you background knowledge on who these characters are and stuff?
There are, but it still doesn't help. Okay. I don't know if you guys have heard this, but Kingdom Hearts is known for having the most ridiculous convoluted storyline, like, ever in a game. It's just so hard to follow. And even though they tell you a lot of stuff, and they do, they make an effort, which is quite nice, but it just doesn't, it's not, I don't know, it's, because the thing is, when I played this, I hadn't played the old ones for a while, so I'd forgotten a bit of it. And it refreshed my memory, but I mean, if I hadn't played it, I don't think it would refresh my memory more. It would just, like, be lost, because it is, and the thing is, it's a lot of stuff to take in, because, like, we're talking, like, 4 games of stuff, and they're, like, you know, long 30-hour games, so that's a lot of stuff to take in and remember. And because this one, in particular, 3D, is a full-fledged sequel that could be Kingdom Hearts 3 if they wanted it to be, you know, you kind of need to know the previous stuff.
It'd be good if they just had, like, a video that was, like, previously on Kingdom Hearts. long game series should have that, just so, if you want to attract new people, and just here, you can watch, like, half an hour of what's happened up till now, just to catch people up.
I'm sure there's, like, a fan edit of something like that somewhere.
These are the days of our lives.
Like, it's a great game. I love it. I think it's really fun. It's interesting, but it's cool that they're using new worlds, even though I love the old worlds better, because I just prefer those Disney titles. And that's the other thing I just want to quickly
they're
say.
They're sort of,
like,
running out of what they can really do. I mean,
yeah, they are, and it's their own fault, because they keep playing around with these stupid side stories rather than just, you know, playing the main series.
But, I mean, they haven't really touched anything Pixar-related, but I'm not sure what the deal with all that is.
Have
they done Lilo and Stitch?
Yeah, Lilo and Stitch was in Birth by Sleep.
Okay. Unless it's, like, I don't know, I think someone was saying, I was listening to a podcast about it recently, it'd be great if they did one based around the old Saturday morning Disney cartoons like DuckTales and Tailspin, but...
I reckon that they'll start to, because, you know, in this one you've got Hunchback of Notre Dame, yeah, fair enough, you've got Pinocchio, but the thing is, like, we've done Pinocchio before, but in a different setting.
Yeah, in the big wild. Look, the problem with doing the Disney cartoon shows like DuckTales and all that is those shows were about 20 years ago, and the audience who plays Kingdom Hearts probably wasn't watching that when those shows were on.
I think they know of them, though.
But, yeah, but the longer it's been since then, I mean, because they don't really get... Like, a world based on gargoyles would be awesome.
Oh, that was the coolest show.
To be fair, though, like, they could... I mean, in this one, they had a whole thing based on the Three Musketeers.
Well, that was a recent movie that came out, though.
Was it recent? Because maybe that's why I missed it. Like,
well, I don't know if it... I think it was, like, a direct-to-DVD thing, or...
Yeah, like, if they're starting to use direct-to-DVD sequels, I think you would... I don't know.
Bit desperate. Like,
yeah, like, they're definitely running out. Like, I remember in Kingdom Hearts 2, I don't know if you remember, you wouldn't have even played it, but, like, they had a level that was based on Steamboat Mickey, which was really cool, black and white. And when you go into that world, you know, Sora, the main character, his face goes basic, like Mickey's face.
That's awesome.
You know what I mean? Like, it's all done really well, like, artistically.
I think that would make, what do you mean, just people wouldn't know Steamboat Mickey, or?
Well, I'm saying that, yeah, some people might not know Steamboat Mickey, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, I think that we are going a little bit too far into...
Oh, Steamboat Willie, sorry.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
He's actually... Because that's, like, who he was before Mickey.
Was he really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's like his origins.
before, I mean, because...
Oh, you know what? That's because in the game, they call him Mickey, and he's like, I don't know who Mickey is.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
Well, Steamboat Willie wasn't originally... I mean, that was the first one that got released, but there was one that was made before Mickey Plane Crazy or something.
Oh, really?
But, yeah, that didn't get released.
And why did they retcon his name to Willie?
I don't know. Why not?
Crazy Walt.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Plane Crazy was made before. I'm pretty sure I read somewhere. Where is it? Production... I don't know. Somewhere. Anyway, next game. But yeah, I'm sure Kingdom Hearts fans pick it up. I think I've seen plenty
Kingdom
of
Kingdom Hearts
that.
Fans will love it. It's very... I just think that if you don't haven't played it before, the story is so confusing. But if you don't play it, you can still play it without the story and have fun.
Did you play it with the circle pad?
I tried the circle pad. I don't think it's necessary.
Okay, cool. So those with a XL will be fine. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to let James have a little bit of a break and I'll talk for a fair bit. Since the last... As I've said previous episodes, I've been in the backlog challenge. I've been blazing through my RPGs this year so far. I've finished Final Fantasy III, Final Fantasy IV, Mario & Luigi, Bowser's Inside Story, and then I got to the next RPG on my list that I'd been really wanting to play for a long time, which is Final Fantasy The Four Heroes of Light for DS. And I know, James, I have not talked about this on the show yet, because I only started playing it after the last episode. And that's pretty much all I've been playing since the last episode. I finished it just this week at, I think I was 88 hours all up was time spent on it in just over a month.
Whoa.
So, yeah, I was looking, I spent like up between 5 and 8 hours on it a week just because of how much I'd played on the bus. I probably would have finished it a lot earlier, but the game does some funny things with leveling. Basically, it's a very basic sort of Final Fantasy game. It's sort of a return to what the earlier ones was. It's turn-based battle.
Is that based on the original, or is it a unique game?
It's a unique game. I mean, it's the same basic. It's about four heroes that come together, and
because the main character in the first one is called Hero of Light,
so it's like a reimagining sort of.
Yeah, it could be, because there's stupid time travel stuff that happens that does your head in a bit. Okay, well, the story's basically, like you start off the game with Brant, he's this young 13-year-old adventurer sort of guy, kid, and the king sends him on a quest to go rescue his princess from the witch. So you go there, then you meet up with another companion, and then you go meet up with the princess's guard, who's like 16, and she helps out, and then you rescue the princess, you kill the witch, but then when you get back to your hometown, everyone's turned to stone, so they have to go on a quest to find out what's happened. So it's a very basic story. I mean, that's sort of the whole, where it all kicks off from there. The game introduces the crown system, which is basically just the job system. From like Final Fantasy 3, 5, and the Tactics games. So you've got stuff like the White Mage Crown, you wear that, and you can costs less action points to cast White Magic Spell, and there's Black Mage, Fighter, Thief, Monk, so on and so on. Which, I mean, I've always loved the job system of Final Fantasy, just because the amount of customization it lets you do. Like, you can make whatever party you want. You played Final Fantasy III, didn't you, James?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of like that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's probably more like that than any of the other Final Fantasy ones with the job system, because basically the skills you've got stay within that job and you can't mix and match stuff up. One problem I found with that, though, is it sort of took a long time for you to get a decent fighty class. In, like, the earliest one you got was Thief, before you got, like, a, like, Hero or Ranger or anything. So, I found myself relying on, like, magics a lot. And another thing is, there's Black Mage is sort of the beginning Black Magic one, but there's other ones like Shaman and all that. So, there's plenty of replacements for the Black Mage, but the White Mage was a job I had all the way to the end, just because it was so useful being able to heal everyone.
Is there anything that really sets it apart from all the other?
My favourite thing of the game has been the combat. The way combat works is every time you start, like you've got action points, and each character can generate a maximum of 5 action points. When you go into a battle, you generate 1 action point, and or each turn you generate a new action point. If you choose to boost, which is basically guarding, you'll generate an extra action point. And these action points you use to do actions. So attacking uses 1 point, using an item uses 1 point. But then you get to stuff where it's like using a spell, like basic spells will use 2 points, and then like fire a gar will use 3, and then so on. So it all comes to that, like you can, sometimes you just need to keep blocking so you can generate enough action points so you can pull off the big spells. Or you can just keep doing normal attacks and...
yeah, that's kind of cool. Yeah, using that's like one. An interesting so, risk-reward system.
Yeah, it's great. So with White Mage, when you have them, if they use white magic spells, it reduces the amount of action points they need. So whereas other classes, it is 2 action points to cast heal, with them it's just 1, so you can just keep healing each turn. Same with Black Mage and the way they work with Black Magic. The interesting thing with this game, I mean, it's, with combat, is it's all turn-based, but you don't get to choose what you're attacking. So you'll choose to do, like, let's say with your White Mage, you choose to heal. The computer will automatically, the AI will heal whoever's got the lowest amount of HP.
Does that work well?
Yeah, I never really had a problem with it. The only time I sort of had problems with when using, not heal, but the ones that recover status elements. Ailments. Mind words not working. So when you cure, because you'll have something which will paralyze half your team, and then you cast that, and it'd be nice if I could choose who I cast that on, because some jobs are more useful in certain situations than others, and then it just always seems to heal this one guy that you didn't need. And it works the same for attacking, so certain you don't get to choose who you attack, but the AI is pretty good at attacking the right opponent. And I mean, like, black magic spells will always target enemies in the back row first before moving on to the front row, and same with ranged weapons, but hand-to-hand stuff will target someone in the front row. Again, it usually works pretty well, and once you get into the game, you sort of figure out which enemies are going to be dying first, and you can build strategies around that. I can see, I mean, when this game came out, a lot of people were annoyed at that, but when you just sort of get used to it, it doesn't become an issue anymore.
It does sound a bit irritating.
It is, and the other thing that irritated people a lot was that you have limited space in your inventory. You can hold a maximum of 15 items. Now, that includes spells and armor. So, I mean, to basically equip your character, you need a sword, shield, you'll have your armor, and then, like, an additional item. So that's 4 slots of your inventory already taken up. Then each spell will take up a slot in your inventory, and then each... potion, and it's just 1 potion per slot. It's not like you can have 1 slot for 99 potions. Which again, I think a lot of people are used to playing JRPGs are used to being able to hold bloody, like, 99 Phoenix Downs and stuff. But having it this way means you need to sort of think out where you're going a lot more. So, like, if you're going to, like, a volcano, you'd think, well, obviously I won't need any fire-based stuff, so I'll just take all my water or ice attacks, and then I'll be fine.
Yeah, a lot more item management.
Yeah, and... that's kind of cool. you do have a chest that is in each town, and you can store all your items there, so everything's always easily accessible. But you just need to plan out what you're going to do a lot more. But yeah, I mean, out of all the Final Fantasy... I mean, I sort of look at this, and I'm like, I wish this had come out on the N64. Just because, you know, similar power between the DS and the 64, because this would have been a great RPG back then. The game looks amazing. It's got this nice little storybook pop-up look to it all. I kind of wish I had have held on to play this on the XL, because I reckon it would look amazing. I'm trying to think. There was something else. Okay. My one problem with this game was that enemies level up with you, and the game doesn't explain that. So you're sort of going through the game and you're just leveling up pretty quickly. You think, yeah, this is cool. And then you get to a point where you're level 99 and the enemies level up, but they're also a lot more powerful than you. So you're at level 99. They're still stronger than you. So you need to do a lot of grinding to get gems, which you need to level up your weapons. So I think probably a good, like, 30 hours of my gameplay were just grinding to get gems so I could power up my weapons. Unfortunately, it seems bosses don't really power up or level up the same as some of the enemies do, so when I got to the final boss, I killed him in 3 rounds of combat.
That's weird. Why would you scale the normal enemies and not the bosses?
I don't know. It's sort of weird. You there, James? You're coming in really funny.
No. I'm here. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you just sounded odd. But yeah, I absolutely love this game. I mean, I spent 88 hours. I just sort of couldn't put it down. I just kept wanting. I mean, even grinding was fun to a degree, because once you sort of... I think it's just because also just playing on the train, so on the bus, so I could listen to a podcast while grinding away for like an hour each morning. But yeah, I loved it. I don't know if it was my favourite of the DS Final Fantasy games. I think 4, just for the story. But gameplay-wise, I loved it. Just the battles are so quick and awesome and brilliant. I'm really looking forward to the sequel, which is coming to the 3DS in Japan later this year, which is Bravely Default Flying Fairy.
What do you mean that's a sequel?
It is. It's made by the same development team. It's a similar idea. It's job system. It's the Crown job system has a sort of similar look.
Final Fantasy sequel, or not?
It is. Because what they've done...
I wouldn't call it a sequel.
They said it is sort of a spiritual sequel to it. And they've sort of hinted at it with the title, which is Flying Fairy, which is FF. Like Final Fantasy.
Mind blown.
They have said in interviews, yeah, it's a spiritual sequel to it. They would have named it Final Fantasy, but it's sort of become its own thing now, so they want it to be its own series. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. Now that I've gotten that finished, I'm moving on to my next RPG, which will be Infinite Space. Because I just need something a bit different that's not swords and magic. I really want to play. I've been wanting to play that for a long time. You reviewed it, didn't you, James?
No. It was the only game I didn't review.
Mm.
Someone else did. I played it, though. It was so complex. But it's great for people who like that. But I just couldn't knock it into it.
Yeah, I've been looking at it. I've been playing a little bit of it, and I was going to go back to my old save, but as you said, it's complex, so you need to sort of start again to get your head around how it all works. But yeah, I should have more of that. To talk about that soon. There was a RPG actually released on the eShop Virtual Console for Game Boy called Sword of Hope, which is an old GBA game from 97. It's sort of a first-person dungeon-crawling sort of RPG. I didn't mind it at first. The music's cool, the combat's cool, but then you get an extra party member and just combat really starts to drag and slow down, and I'm like, I don't know if I'll finish this. But if you want a good little RPG on the go, there's that. And I think that's me in the handheld space. I think I'll leave... I mean, I've been playing Batman Brave and the Bold on the Wii, but no one really cares about that, do they?
I like it. It's a good game.
Did you finish it?
Yeah, I played it through with my ex-girlfriend. I played the whole thing.
Yeah, see, I did the same with my girlfriend. She loves the show.
The show's pretty cool as well.
The writing's like spot on with the show. It's just funny, it's witty, it's the banners back and forth.
And they kind of carried that over into the game, which was...
Yeah.
It gave it a lot of charm.
The only bit that annoyed me was, I think, the third area where... I mean, because she likes Batman a lot more than me, so I'm being nice and go, look, you can play Batman and I'll play as the little sidekicks.
Aquaman.
Well, no, Aquaman's not in it. That'd be awesome if you were.
He's just one of those, like, support attacks. Side characters. He has, like, the best support attack in the game, though.
Oh, yeah, it's got whales.
He summons whales.
But, I mean, I didn't mind playing as Robin and Blue Beetle, because...
Yeah, those two are really cool.
And Guy Gardner was alright at the end. I mean, I like... I'm more of a Marvel Comics guy, but if I was to read DC Comics, I would probably read Green Lantern or Flash. But then, like, when I was using Hawkman, I just wasn't getting into it.
Yeah, he was pretty sluggish, yeah.
Yeah, boring. But yeah, I love that. So, I mean, definitely check it down. It's some of WayForward's best work. And
it's great pretty to cheap play too multiplayer. Now to pick up.
Yeah. So we'll just wrap up games played because it's gone on for ages. But Scott's got some stuff to talk about. He has now ascended the pantheon to become a god among men because he's finished Mega Man 9.
Yes, I finished Mega Man 9. It's funny, I've been playing it for several months, and then once I finally finished it, I was like, I just wanted to play it again, and I like beat all the Robot Masters in like 40 minutes, and I'm like, hell, what? It's that kind of game that once you know it, it's not that hard, but when you first start it, it is the most challenging thing you could ever do.
I think you sort of need to look at Mega Man games as they're kind of like puzzle games. Because each level is basically a puzzle. Enemies will have enemies will appear at the same spot every time. They'll have their exact same movements.
Yeah, that's a really good analogy. Just to memorize it. And it's basically, you need to know if you use this certain weapon here. That's something I think I did wrong. Because it was my first Mega Man game. I kind of really didn't use any of the weapons I acquired, except for when I was like trying to work out the Master Bot's weaknesses. Whereas if you actually use them during the levels themselves become considerably more easier. Like, when you beat Jewel Man, you get the Jewel Satellite, which is basically, I think, four or five jewels that just, like, rotate around Mega Man. And for any enemy that dies in one hit, if you just run into them, they die. So there's a lot, I think, in Concrete Man stage, there's, like, these little guys that pop up when you jump over a certain gap. And if you just jump straight away, you'll hit them and you'll fall straight down the gap. So what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to walk up, stop, let them go, shoot them, then jump across. But if you have the Jewel Satellite, you can just run through. So it's stuff like that. When you know that kind of stuff, the game becomes so much easier. And it's really good though. Like, what amazes me about it is it's not only does, obviously it looks and sounds like a classic game, but it feels like one as well.
I like how they even put in, like, flicker effects and stuff.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like, optional flicker effects. But yeah, it like, feels like a game that was made. I mean, obviously, like, with the aesthetics and the fact that it is a 8-bit Mega Man game. But it genuinely feels like it was made, like, in the 80s, which is really awesome.
I've tried. I mean, I got it when it came out. I think I've only actually beat Galaxy Man, is it? Or whatever.
Yeah, he's probably the easiest one.
Yeah. And then I just keep doing Thunder Tornado or Tornado Man or whichever one.
I was going to say, go do Jewel Man, because he's weak to the Black Hole Bomb.
Yeah, I think I tried that, but then I just keep going back to that Thunder Man stage because I like the music.
That is probably, his music and Galaxy Man's music are my favourites. The
best in that whole game. I love, like, Mega Man's one of my favorite characters in all. I just from the design, just looks great. I've only ever finished Mega Man X though.
Yeah, that's a good game too.
I keep trying to play Mega Man games and I don't get too far in them. But I mean, as you said, it's a puzzle. You need to sort of think your way through it.
It's a subtle layer of it because, I mean, at its face value, it's just an action platformer.
It's a puzzle that works on memorization.
Definitely.
You just need to keep playing these levels, which a lot of those old games were. I mean, that's how games were made hard.
Yeah, that's sort of that.
Back then. I mean, stuff like Contra and all that takes like 40 minutes to play through.
But because you die so much. And you have to redo things. Yeah, exactly. Whereas
nowadays, games are a little bit easier.
I think a lot of people don't have the patience for that anymore. But it's so rewarding. You feel amazing when you actually beat, like, a stage in Mega Man 9 off your own back. It's a great feeling.
So now you finished that, you're moving on to Mega Man 10?
Not yet, but I am thinking about doing it. And it's actually made me want to get a NES so I can get, like, all the originals as well.
Well, you played it on the Wii, right?
Yeah.
Well, you got the Virtual Console. You can get Mega Man 1 to 5 on that, I think, at this stage.
Yeah, I know. But I'm a collector, so I'd rather... I want to get a NES anyway, so... You know. That's just me. I prefer to... If I can get something physical, I'll get a physical.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Cool. James got nothing to chime in about a Capcom game for once.
Haven't you played it, James?
You're coming in really quiet.
There we go.
I like Mega Man, but I really don't. I don't know what it is. I just could never get into it. It wasn't like I liked the difficulty, but I just couldn't do it.
Because there were so many of them, or
maybe that's what it was. Maybe it was just like fatigue or... Because I played a few, like I finished a few of them, I just never got to the later ones.
Yeah, they're pretty draining. They are draining. Yeah,
they are emotionally
You need
draining
a rest.
Yeah.
Physically draining and... Yeah. It's just the one that you guys are talking about, that's the one with like the first ever girl. And,
yeah, Splashman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just thought I'd double check.
I'll get around to finishing off Mega Man Zero one of these days.
I wish that Capcom didn't ignore Mega Man because I think it was one of their more popular games.
Well, he was an 8-bit. I mean, back in the NES days, and then even Super NES, they had a good momentum going with him, and then it just sort of dropped off in the 32-bit in the N64 PlayStation era. But yeah, they made the Legends games, which I've heard
kind of like mirrors like what happened to Sonic.
Yeah. I mean, even though the games they've been making for them have still consistently been good, like the Zero games and ZX and Yeah, and I think then they had the Battle Network games, which so many of them, and then I think it's just fatigue, and then after everything with Mega Man Legends 3 for the 3DS, and then Kenji, is it Kenji?
Yeah,
Inafune.
Keiji Inafune.
With him leaving Capcom, and then it's all over now.
Yeah, that's awkward. We'll have to see what happens.
Yeah,
hopefully something.
He's getting iPhone ports.
He's doing Vita games, you know.
Well, no, he's got that 3DS one as well, the pirate penguin thing.
Yeah,
that got cancelled. I'm pretty sure.
Really?
No, I haven't seen anything about it being cancelled.
Because that looks so cool. I was really excited for that. Even though there was no gameplay, but still.
Yeah, it's pirates and penguins and stuff.
I think it's King of Pirates, that's the name.
Yeah. I'm sure I haven't heard that being cancelled.
I didn't hear about it being cancelled.
Well, I thought it was, so everyone shut up.
And so the last game you've got there, Scott, is... Blah, blah, blah.
Rhythm Thief?
Yes, that's it.
Yeah, Rhythm Thief is an excellent game, and it's kind of... I heard that it didn't sell too well, which is really disappointing. But it's basically this insanely cool rhythm game. But it's kind of like... It has a story as well, so it's sort of like... a lot of people liken it to Professor Layton, but instead of puzzles, rhythm games. It's actually from the guy who did, if you know what Samba de Amigo is. I think it was originally on the Dreamcast, but there was also a Wii port of it as well.
Because there's even like mini games that are pretty
based
much
on that,
the same.
The Mexican ones, which are really cool. I really like them. Because basically in Somebody Amigo you had like maraca peripherals, or with the Wii you obviously had the Wii remote and the nunchuck. And you'd like shake them in different directions in time with like little circles heading out to the side of the screens. And so with the 3DS you do a similar thing, but you use the D-pad, you use up, left and down, and X, B, and A, and they're basically like the directions. And that was really cool. That's the thing that's really cool about it, is all the rhythm games are like really well designed, and like they use all the features of the 3DS really well. Like there are some that use the gyro, there's plenty that obviously use the touchscreen, and then there's a lot that use the buttons as well, so it all gets utilized really well. The presentation values are ridiculously high, but that's thanks to Sega, because it was developed in-house by Sega, which is really cool. What was I going to say? I was going to say something, but I've lost my train of thought. Do you want to say something, James, about it?
I loved it. I liked the story. I liked the character design. They all look really cute.
I've got mine in order. It's going to ship with, I think, Epic Mickey or something. I don't know.
The only thing I honestly didn't like was the gyro games. I didn't feel they used them that well compared to the other stuff. Like the dog one, where you got to throw him meat or something.
Oh yeah, that one was pretty annoying. Yeah.
Oh, so they just it was so annoying. Besides that, the games were great. I love rhythm games as well, so it was good. I really liked it. And I liked how it kind of captured the spirit of France quite well. I mean, it was grossly stereotypical,
it felt cool, like exploring, because you basically have like an overworld hub that you like walk around, and you have to like solve like little mini puzzles in between rhythm games. And so that kind of gave you this awesome feeling of just walking around the entire city. I like that. And the music, we have to mention the music, because the music's phenomenal. And being a rhythm game, it's kind of one of the most important things. It's such a great soundtrack.
It is, yeah, it's good. I'm surprised you haven't played it yet, Flamey.
Because it took a while to come out in the US, and I mean, I do have an order for it, but I think I... Because I just wanted to save money on one of my orders, so I combined it with another one, which is possibly Epic Mickey.
November.
Yeah, I might rejig some orders around. But look, I've still got Heroes of Ruin to play. I've got Kingdom Hearts to play. I've got Theatre Rhythm. Still waiting on that to one day finally ship, because it's like sold out everywhere in the world.
I'm glad I've got one.
I'll tell you what, one of my favourite type of rhythm games was in Rhythm Thief. The violin ones.
Oh, you reckon?
Yeah, I really like them. I love how intuitive that control was. Because basically what it is was you had the stylus. You'd have like little arrows that are scrolling down the screen with lines in between them. And then, so basically when one comes, you have to swipe from one, follow the line to the other, and then swipe back. So it felt like, well, obviously not like actually playing a violin. But like I reckon that's pretty much the closest you can get in video game form. I thought that was really creative.
Yeah, I guess.
It got really hard towards the end, especially with some of the fast sections, but I don't know. That really got me into, like, because a lot of those violin pieces from the soundtrack are really good as well, so they're one of my favourite parts of the game anyway.
Cool.
It's a great game. People should buy it.
It is very good.
I feel sorry for Sega for taking a chance.
It's really a shame. And the cliffhanger at the end, like, there's probably not going to be a sequel now, and that really bums me. Like, it was set up, it's like, oh yeah, there's going to be more, and no, there won't be. I hope there will be. Even if it's, like, smaller, and, like, just, like, a download, just to get that story arc complete, really pisses me off.
I know what you mean, it is annoying. I would do wish it did better, but oh well.
I think that's well and truly it for Games Played, because that's been about an hour of that. had a lot to talk about, because it's been so long. We're going to have a quick break. What do you think, James? Kingdom Hearts music or Mega Man music?
Ooh.
Kingdom Hearts. Why don't we do Mega Man?
Because Tornado Man.
Tornado
Mega Man. Nah, it's too old.
Okay, Kingdom Hearts. quick break after some Kingdom Hearts music. Probably start off with the awesome World's End of You remixes that it has. And then we've got a bit of news to come in, cover, and then after that, some hot topic action, which hopefully won't go too long. So I'll be back after the break. Yeah, we'll just get straight into the news, trying to finish as quick as we can. Fair bit of deal to stuff going on with Wii U price and date rumours. The release date for Australia, we'll get off that. Rumour is apparently it's going to be looking at December 6th this year, which is
awesome. 7th.
December 7th is 2006 is when the Wii came out in Australia. Yeah,
that's correct.
So December 6th, 2012 is what we're getting rumoured at. So that should be kind of interesting. And that's actually going to be a Thursday, which if I go back to 2006 in December, was a Wednesday. Oh, okay.
I remember that day vividly.
I remember that day as well.
Did anyone like? Did you? Did you line up?
And then we went and saw James Bond.
Did you line up, or did you just walk in pre-order?
I had pre-order, so
yeah, me too. I remember because I was such a hobo. We like pre-ordered like and certain items from different stores because we didn't really want to price match, so we had to go to like all these different stores.
What did you get?
All our bits and pieces.
What did you get at launch with yours?
Red Steel, and Zelda.
Yeah,
that's
I got Zelda, Red Steel, Wii Play, Wii Sports, obviously.
Wii Play, yeah.
Yeah.
Wii Play, that's it. Wii Play, Zelda, Monkey Ball, and Call of Duty 3.
I kind of wish I'd got Monkey Ball. That would have been much better
right.
than Red Steel.
I mean, it's a monkey ball game. Oh, and a classic controller. And an extra
launcher. Anyway.
But yeah, I mean, just, you know, people, keep early December free, because looks like when it's coming out. Although we're hearing rumours that it might be delayed in Europe to possibly... So...
That would be a dog move.
Interesting. I mean, it's just apparently manufacturing issues. They're trying to make a lot of units and just, yeah, not having enough.
Hmm.
So
it's being built. How do we not know anything about it?
Because they're very good at hiding all this
stuff. It's Nintendo.
I need to know.
we'll know soon enough, because Nintendo America is hosting a Wii U event on September the 13th, where the US price and date is to be expected. So once we know the US price, we might be able to figure out roughly what ours is going to be. Basically, theirs times two.
Yeah, add on $50 as well.
Yeah, it's a stupid pricing system. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, look, even though, I mean, Nintendo Europe have said that that they won't be having a date and price event, at least knowing the American one will give us sort of a rough idea when things will be coming out. So we can sort of work on, well, it, I mean, America will probably be getting it first, so we'll be getting it after when they will be. If that makes sense.
Kind of.
Yeah. Cool.
No, I have nothing else to say on this. I think that we've all talked about it before. I'm sick of talking about it.
We should talk about it after it happens.
I just want them to announce a price and a date and get the ball rolling.
Okay. Speaking of dates, here's a bit of a sad one. Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon has been delayed to 2013.
Yeah.
The first half.
That's saddening.
It's sad, but I think it also gives it a bit more chance to shine.
I'm really looking forward to it, so I don't really mind if it's delayed, you know.
I mean, we got Paper Mario this year anyway, so...
Yeah, there's plenty of...
Another Mario game. but there's still going to be plenty... I mean, and I think they would want to give the Wii U a bit of a berth, so they're not having their other titles overshadowed by it. So yeah, that's kind of depressing. Mario Sticker Star is apparently coming out November 11th in America, so we should be getting it around the same time. Then, other news, I guess a release date, but not for a game, Hyrule Historia, which is the sort of Zelda 25-year art book Nintendo of Japan released, is getting a Western release and is coming out to Australia sometime next year. It's basically going to have a collection of art from the series. There's also the official Zelda timeline is included in it, which is something people have always wondered about, but this actually has it in there, which if you've seen what people have translated out of the Japanese one, is actually sort of, it splits into three different timelines.
Just to make things even more complicated.
Yeah.
Because 2 wasn't already complicated enough.
Yeah.
I didn't even know. Like, I knew that fans thought that they were linked, but I didn't know Nintendo had that idea.
I always assumed they didn't, and they just kind of like made like little hints to make it seem that they were.
Yeah, but yeah.
Well,
but
I love
art books.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't really have one, and then they sort of, with Wind Waker, they sort of had to have one.
Yeah, they screwed it up with Wind Waker.
And then they go, oh, this takes place several years afterwards, and then blah. Basically, I mean, just for those who don't know, the split happens, I mean, with Ocarina of Time, there's one timeline where Link stays in, well, there's one where the hero is defeated, and then that leads into,
I hate that one.
A link to the past.
I try to think of it differently. I try to think of it as, like... When he goes into the future, that like splits the timeline. But then when he comes back, he goes to a different one, like a different past. He doesn't go back to the same past. So
I don't really want to ruin this because I don't know what it is, and I want to read it in the book.
Yeah, but you're right, James. I don't know if you got it, James. Did you get the Epic Mickey art book when it came out last year? That's really good.
I don't know how that's related, but okay.
Well, you're talking about art books. You said art books are awesome.
Oh, yeah, but we can talk about that elsewhere, not on the podcast.
I've got the Akami art book as well.
Moving on.
Okay. Final bit of news, because we don't have a lot of news to cover, is Nintendo Australia's revenue is down. But yeah, that's basically just... for the last financial year... So, the financial year ending March 31st, 2011, Nintendo made $339.7 million. This year, ending March 31st, 2012, they only made $200 million.
Oh, no.
So, that's a drop of 41%.
Yes.
Yeah, but have they lost money, or have they just made less?
They've made less.
Yeah. Basically, that's just due to the Wii U's really slowing... Sorry, the Wii's really slowing down and DS. And, I mean, 3DS didn't catch on as much as they were hoping, but it's gathering steam now. So it'll be interesting to see. I imagine their profits would be up next year with the Wii U launch and all that. So it's just the usual ebb and flow of, you know, how this stuff happens.
Yeah.
Nothing to be concerned
about. Did have some other news I wanted to talk about, but... I don't think they're really worth it now, because there was a rumour of a new Kingdom Hearts, but then that just turned out to be a crappy iPhone port.
You mean The World Ends With You?
What did I say?
Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Well, to be fair, they're all the same now.
Basically.
If you played 3D.
So, yeah, I think that's news, and I mean, we didn't really go long, so instead of taking another break, we're just going to go dive head first into the hot topic. Head on? I don't know, something. Mario Kart is 20 years old now. I think it is a really important series in Nintendo's stable of game franchises. Usually when Mario Kart comes out for systems, Mario Kart games usually just keep selling, and I've sort of got a theory that there's no such thing as anyone who hates Mario Kart, because everyone loves it, everyone can play it.
I don't love it.
Yeah, I mean, you don't love it, but you don't hate it. You enjoy playing it. It's still fun to play.
It's not my favourite game, but, you know, it's always fun to play with friends. I can't think of anyone who's been like, Mario Kart, stupid game.
You'd Call of Duty and shoot people in the face.
Yeah.
I mean, the series has seen a lot of ups and downs over the years. I mean, I think we'll just sort of take a few minutes just to sort of look back at what our favorite tracks, favorite game in the series, and so on is. So I think, yeah, we might start. We'll start with where things always start. What was the first Mario Kart game you played?
The Super Nintendo one.
Yep, same.
64.
Okay. Cool.
How terrible did Donkey Kong look in the Super Nintendo one?
It was Donkey Kong Jr.
He was like a red circle with a singlet. It was like so... He looked so bad.
Check out those art designs.
Yeah, so I can't get over how terrible that was.
Yeah,
Do you know what I hate about Mario Kart and SNES? All the enemies had these items that you could never get.
Really?
Yeah, like there was this little mushroom one.
I remember they had like... There was like four items, I think, that the player could never use, but all the enemies always had them.
Yeah.
What did they do?
I can't remember.
There was a mushroom one.
I remember a red, like a yellow red mushroom.
That would shrink you.
Did it?
Yeah. I think that's basically the only one.
Really? I swear there was more of it. Okay.
I remember used to play it, just playing battle mode and all that. I mean, I didn't really get into it. I mean, it was many years later that I really got... The first Mario Kart game I actually bought for myself and owned was the GBA one, Super Circuit. And that was the first one I remember really getting into. But, I mean, other than that, I sort of played them, dabbled in the past, but wasn't in love with them. I think I enjoyed Diddy Kong Racing more on the 64 than I did Super Mario Kart.
Diddy Kong Racing.
they could fly, and they had the hovercrafts, and Tip Top.
What's it called? The first one I bought was the GameCube one. I didn't play it. Like, I played the other ones at friends' houses, but I never bought them. It was really weird. Like, as I said, it's never been a franchise that I really got into.
What?
But I play it with people.
What is your favourite Mario Kart game?
Mario Kart Wii.
I want to say Mario Kart Wii, but then I feel like that has this kind of, like... It doesn't feel
Well, that's sort of when the rubber same. Banding sort of really came into, like, full force, I think.
Yeah, like, I liked 64 because, you know, you had that kind of, that element of, like, drifting and snaking, not snaking, what's it called?
I mentioned snaking.
Yeah, no, that was an accident, I'm sorry, everyone, ever. What's it called when you, like you drift, but then you drift, like, three times, so you get a boost?
Yeah.
I can't remember what it's called, but well, I just...
You know, power that... boost.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Well, that wasn't in, like, the Wii 1.
Yes, it is.
It is.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, it's in basically all of them. I'm not sure if it's in the original one, because I can't remember. It's been so long.
I didn't think it was in 64.
In... Yeah, it is in 64. Yeah, there's, like, little definitely. L's that come out.
Hmm, okay.
Yeah, well, 64 was my favourite. Mainly, but the only reason is because it is the one that I play with friends most.
Yeah.
I played the Wii one with a lot of other friends, but they weren't as good friends, so, you know, you didn't have as much fun.
See, my favourite's sort of a controversial one. I mean, I was just sort of thinking about it. I mean, my favourite is Double Dash, which is the one, I think, it gets a lot of hate.
Why do people hate it? I didn't mind, actually. To be honest, I love that one as well. That was fun.
I think because I think people
that
feel
has a lot
it's
of good tracks.
Slower. Oh yeah, it's comes completely down to just I think it has the best tracks in the game, and I think it's a bit more strategic because in every Mario Kart game you can drag like stuff behind you to block red turtle shells. You can't do that in Double Dash because the other character always carries the item on him. So if you want to block a red turtle shell, you need to drop your item at the right time to stop it hitting you. And I just think that adds a little bit of bit more strategy to it all and makes Red Turtle Shells a bit more effective.
I remember we used to play Double Dash heaps with, on that, what's it called? Baby Park, I think?
Yes! Park. Oh, God, yes! I mean,
that is the most chaotic track.
Is like the a single baby. Best... can't go an episode. that is the single best track in all of Mario Kart, because it's just, you know, you start, oh yeah, it's a round circle, whatever. Blah, da, da. And just fun doing power slides around the two tight corners. Then it gets to the second one. Oh, there's stuff there. Okay, that's good. And then like on your third or fourth, because it's like five or seven laps. I can't remember. And then on your fourth time round, it's like, holy shit, there's stuff everywhere.
Yeah.
And you're just trying to dodge
happens
and get out of the
quickly.
Way. And then it's also got like, because I'm looking at tracks online now, it's got stuff like Wario Coliseum, which is that huge, big chain one. And with a huge ball in the middle that's just fun to drive around, and Mushroom City, where you've got really tight 90 degree turns you need to drive around.
Yeah, I think I remember that one.
It's
I remember the one, I loved the one, like, those tracks where, you know, there's one where it was like, it was the question box factory. Do you remember that one?
Is that in DS?
No, it wouldn't be, because I didn't play DS.
Didn't you?
It must, no.
Oh.
Unless it's like a pass track.
It must be. Oh, yeah, maybe it is. I don't know.
I don't recall that one, though.
It was something to do with Toad, and, like, you know, you saw the question mark blocks being made. I swear, I'm not
I think
crazy.
That was... No, that sounds more like Wii. I'm just Could trying be. To look over now. Toad's Factory.
Oh, yeah. Actually, yeah, I think that might be Wii.
And then the other one I liked was the one where you drive, like, through a thing, and then you get in a cannon up to the top of a mountain, and you just drive
DK
down
Mountain.
Down. Yeah, that was really awesome. Good. I love that too.
That's also in Maple Tree Way and DK Summit on Wii.
I love Maple Tree Way as well. The Wii one is actually quite good. I forgot about how good it was.
I like how the Wii one had motorbikes as well, because they were just fun to use.
Doing wheelies, good fun.
Yeah.
And then when the girls wore motorbikes, they wore, like, short shorts.
For the Wii, do you guys actually use the, like, motion controls for the Wii one? Because I actually really like them.
Yeah. I did, and then when I play with friends, I don't.
Well, especially if I'm using the motorbike, because you just flick it forward and you do a wheelie and you just go forward really fast.
But they're really tight. I find them really responsive.
Mm.
Would you agree?
Yeah.
Because some people complain about them.
Those people, you know what people are like.
I think a reason a lot of people complained about the Wii one was not just because of the rubber banding, but also the online was... I mean, I liked battle mode online. I thought that was kind of fun, how even if you got eliminated, you'd still get to keep playing. It just affect your overall score. But I think that sort of annoyed a lot of people. It took a lot of the competitiveness out of it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I didn't play it online.
I played Mario Kart 7 literally for the first time yesterday.
Oh, really?
Because I bought it ages ago, and I never played it, and then I was like, I'll wait for my XL, and then I decided to play it. So I don't know what the other tracks are good. I don't know. I have no idea.
Where am I up to? Sorry, I'm just looking at all the tracks for the series. Oh, no, I like the tracks in that. I mean, I think... I'm trying to... Because the tracks are a lot different. I mean, I love Piranha Plant Slide, which is very NES-themed.
Are we talking about 7?
Yeah. But, I mean, it's sort of different, because they have to be a bit more aerial and have more water sections. You got good ones like the Music Park and Rock Rock Mountain stuff, but, yeah.
I love know. How... It's what I do nothing like, on... And it sounds really petty, but I like how they slowly keep adding more and more characters to it.
They got rid of Waluigi, though.
Oh.
And Rob.
That's no big loss, to be
Rob
honest.
Was awesome.
But Waluigi's like the Mario Party game person. He originated in them.
My favorite... In Mario Kart DS, you get one of Rob's little carts, which is this little tiny thing, and then you have Waluigi sitting on it, so he's like this huge guy with knees coming out the sides, and this little tiny cart, it just looks hilarious.
Do you know what I don't understand? Okay, why did they name Mario Kart 7 Mario Kart 7?
Because they ran out of ideas.
I think because they could have just gone Mario Kart 3D, but I think they were worried about scaring people off with the 3D, because that does have a bit of a negative connotation, I think.
I guess.
It's
just so random, we've never had one Mario Kart that's had a number at the end of it.
Yeah, I think they just felt like it was time to do that.
Yeah, maybe it was like a revitalization thing, like, oh, Prestige, this is the 7th one. Ooh, you remember that game, this is the 7th one, that kind of thing.
Remember that other game that had a 7 in it that everyone loved? Same.
Can't believe I forgot, also in Mario Kart Double Dash, Daisy Cruiser.
Who?
Yeah, that's a good track.
The ship?
The yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and the like tables are sliding around. And
Shy Guy Desert as well.
Yeah, that's
is cool. Waluigi Pinball in that one, or is that on DS?
That's DS. See, that was awesome.
That's a really good track as well.
I mean, I love
there's
the tracks.
There's so many tracks.
Mm-hmm.
I just love the tracks where there's stuff going on, like there's just like stuff flying at you and you've got to dodge and think. I mean, I'd love it if they just like did for Mario Kart Wii U, just instead of making new tracks, just have all of the old tracks.
That would be
epic. Not all good though. Some are ordinary.
Yeah, I know.
Peach Beach, is that the favorite one in Double Dash?
Is it?
Which is the
one?
Yeah,
I think it is.
With the things from Sunshine.
Yeah, the things that flick you up.
Yeah.
I like that one.
I like
cool.
that one too.
Because it's just because I mean there was that awesome
things always get
you.
You think you're going to get past them, and then one always gets you.
They just run. I remember from the first Mario Kart, one of my favorite tracks because I love the Koopa Beach ones. And there's one Koopa Beach 2 where there's this awesome little side. What was it? Koopa Beach 1, I think. And just do, like, little shortcuts and stuff.
Yeah, I do remember that. And it was, like, in this NES one, it was, like, the course was, like, just different islands with little bits of sandbag between them.
Yeah.
That was quite cool. I mean...
That's why I really liked Super Circuit, because Super Circuit had all this NES levels in it as well.
Yeah, it has a level like that.
No, it does. It has all of this Super NES levels in it.
Does it have all of them?
Yep.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
I remember as a kid, like, I was really not that clever. And I used to just love driving in the water and the sand because it made the noise and it blew up. And I thought it was really cool. And Mum and Dad were like, James, you're not meant to do that. You're meant to stay on the road. You don't go as fast. And I was like, meh.
That's when they knew they messed up with you.
I think they knew a long time ago before that.
As soon as I came out, that they knew.
What? Who's your favourite racer? Like, do you have one that you use all the time, or do you sort of mix it up?
I kind of do at the moment. I wrote this. There's going to be a feature article going. Are we allowed to say that?
Yeah. Well, I know.
By the time it goes up,
it'll probably be up. Yeah. There's probably already a feature article up. On Mario Kart's 20th anniversary, and I wrote some stuff down for that. And I wrote about my favorite character. Like, originally, when I was younger, I used to always play as Luigi. Just because I really liked the idea. This is before Luigi's Mansion, obviously, so it, like, gave him, like, this time in the spotlight, which I thought was really cool. So I pretty much played as him exclusively at first, but then I moved on to, as I got older, I played as Donkey Kong, just because being a giant monkey on a car is really cool. But recently, I played Mario Party a few months back with one of my friends, and I decided I was just going to be, like, a bit of a troll and a jerk. Because you know how, like, half of that game.
So you just went Waluigi?
Anyway. No, I went Wario. And yeah, I just tried to mess everyone up. Like, if they were about to win, I just intentionally screw them up. Like, not even worry about my chances of winning.
That's what I used to do. I remember I used to, like, stay at this finish line and someone's cut, like, and turn myself around and just, like, ram into
it. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Just stuff like that. It's so fun. Like, you get just as much enjoyment out of it.
You play Mario Kart and you just know you're not going to win, so you just turn around and start going reverse and
try and crash into
shooting
people.
Shit up.
So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of followed on into Mario Kart, so I've been playing it.
Did anyone used to do this? Because you know how there's the item, because you know the item blocks you go through to get items, and then there's the one you can get that is like the fake item block.
Yep.
Yeah, did you always try and just place that so it's with all the other item blocks?
Of course.
Yeah, of course.
I used to love doing that. Oh, I hope I've got him this time.
It's useless otherwise.
Unless someone's like right behind you, then you can use it like a bomb.
What about you?
My favorite character was. See, this is what it was, because back in the day when I had an amazing girlfriend who played video games with me, we used to always fight with over who would pick Toad or Yoshi, and so. Since we always used to take turns, I guess, in picking Toad, because we both liked Yoshi, but we couldn't both play as Yoshi, so we had to, you know, compromise. And then I remember when we used to play Double Dash, used to pick Toad and Toadette.
Aww.
Is it Toadette?
Yeah, it's Toadette.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I reckon Toadette's a very underrated character, to be quite honest.
Really? You're going to bag out Waluigi, but not Toadette?
Toadette!
Toadette's awesome. Leave her alone. She's great.
I'm just saying. Like,
she's got like mushroom braids and shit. Rastafarians could never.
So yeah. Toad's always been my main. I don't know. I just love using Toad because I just using the lighter characters. I like being able to accelerate really quickly because I screw up a lot, and I've just always liked Toad. I mean, I was a bit annoyed when we Double Dash because when you do start it, Toad's not. Unlocked. He's not one of the main characters.
Yeah, that was weird.
So I had to use Baby Mario and Baby Luigi because they're just hilarious. And because in that one, you'd also get each character. I think that was the first one where characters had their own special attacks. And their special attack was the huge chain chomp that would just lunge out in front of them. And it just looks so funny.
Yeah. They're like hanging on for dear life.
And then you had like the little. Also the first one where you could have different cars, and you have them in the one that's the Bullet Bill or the train.
Yeah, man, Toadette was the coolest. She needs to come back. She needs her own game.
No, Waluigi needs his own game. Screw you.
No, Toadette and Waluigi can be together.
Toadette, Waluigi, and Tingle, like an RPG thing.
No, not Tingle.
That sounds
the island of rubbish characters. Wasn't that Captain Rainbow or something?
Leave Toadette alone.
But yeah, Captain Rainbow was basically like just all the rubbishy characters that Nintendo had invented on their little island or something.
Is that what Captain
Rainbow is? And
then Birdo
being gay.
I've seen pictures of Captain Rainbow, but I had no idea what it was.
Oh my god, it's got like little Mac in it. And
that's so cool. Why didn't they? Because
it's a bit gay. There's this bit with Birdo, and then Birdo asks you to get, like, a vibrator or a dildo or something.
Is that that game? I've heard of that.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mario Kart. I mean, there's not really a lot to say about it. I mean, it's a staple series in Nintendo's library, and I mean, even if a Nintendo console doesn't do that well, there's always a Mario Kart game there to get people hooked on, and I just don't think the value of the series can be sort of undersold. It's probably one of Nintendo's most important franchises.
You know what's annoying?
Maybe even more so than Mario.
There's been like 7 Mario Karts, but only 4 F-Zeros.
Yeah. Well, no, hang on. More.
4 Western release ones.
No, there's been five.
What was
there was
the fifth
two
one?
On the two on the GBA that got Western release.
I thought only one did.
No, the other. I'm pretty sure the other one came out. I've seen
English
copies
five,
floating around.
Three I've played.
And F-Zero GX is still just one of the best games ever made.
Yes.
Actually, one thing we haven't touched on, has anyone played the Mario Kart arcade games?
Yes,
yes.
Very recently, actually.
What do you think of them?
Yeah, they play very differently, for sure, but they're fun.
Mm.
And I like
I
how
like
it has
those
all
weird,
Namco
random,
characters.
Blowing characters. Who, it's like, go away, you have your own ways to be famous.
But you can play. You can play as Blinky.
And Tamagotchi.
Yeah, that's
what?
Cool.
I haven't played. I thought it was just Pac-Man and the ghosts.
No, there's
yeah,
like
Blinky
this Tamagotchi
is the ghost.
Character thing.
Oh, the ghosts have names now?
He's called Blinky.
There's, talk about there's Pinky, Blinky, Inky, and Clyde. How did you not know that? It's oh, God, my brain's exploding.
Oh, now you know how it feels about me when we talk about Heroes of Light every episode.
We've only talked about it for one episode, you bloody troll. Blah. I don't know. Obviously, we're going to get another Mario Kart on the Wii U. I think, yeah, that's the thing. It's a staple series. There's always going to be one there.
It'll happen, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, 20 years pass, and be interested in see when we in another 20 years.
40th year anniversary.
Yeah.
We'll have to do a podcast.
Am I the only one who ever... I don't know if it was a rumor that the magazines were spreading around back in the day or what, but am I the only one who remembers rumors of like Mario Kart 2 for the Super NES and Magi Koopa was going to be one of the characters?
I remember that. I remember Magi Koopa for some reason.
Yeah, I'm sure there were screenshots of it.
No, I'm pretty sure that she was, but Magi Koopa Mario Kart, but it was a beta screenshot or something.
Why would they make a second Mario Kart on the Super Nintendo though?
No, it because wasn't it... Super Nintendo.
No, no, it was. It was Mario Kart.
No, look, it was cause... It was when they announced Super Mario 64. Trust me, I know these things.
So okay, what, like a beta Mario Kart 64?
Yeah, before, when they announced, like, the first screenshots in Nintendo Power were, like, there was one, I just sent you all a link.
I'll find it soon.
I hear a dog.
Actually, speaking of Nintendo Power,
yeah, that's mine, sorry.
We didn't mention it, that, sort of news came out the other week that Nintendo's long-running video game magazine, it's been running since the 80s, has been shut down, or is going to be shut down in December. So that's kind of sad. Like, one of the institutions of video game magazines is dying.
I know a lot of people have fond memories about that magazine, so that's a
yeah,
shame.
But being Australian, we didn't, I mean, we had NMS and stuff, and I mean, I
yeah,
have issue one of NMS.
We can't relate as much, but...
I can, because, I mean, I got NMS from when it started. I mean, I have some issues of Nintendo Power that when Borders used to be around, I got some. And, I mean, it seemed like a great magazine, but it just sucks that they're cancelling it.
What do you think's going to happen to our magazine, then?
Do we still have one? I don't read it anymore.
Yeah, we do. We do. I don't
the
read
only
it
magazine,
either.
The only magazine I actively read is Retro Gamer.
I should get that. I think I'd really like
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah, an N64 one. Okay, cool. I believe you, James.
Yeah.
Don't you think Wario looks really scary in that picture?
Wario always looks scary.
He's
yeah,
like,
but like,
extra
I think
scary.
You might have got confused because they called it Super Mario Kart R. So you might have thought it was on 64.
No,
wait,
I
why
swear,
would they call
I
it that?
Swear,
wouldn't
I...
that just remind everyone of Sonic
Racing?
R? Well, I think
swear...
R is a thing in Japan for sequels because I remember.
But Sonic R wasn't a sequel.
Oh, really?
No, it was some shitty racing game on the Saturn.
Oh, because all I remember was, like, it, like, the second season of Sailor Moon was called Sailor Moon R.
She
so,
is the one.
I don't know.
Fighting evil by moonlight. Winning love by daylight.
Apparently, in Japan, they use it a lot for when they say return. That's a stand for.
I swear, I mean, I remember NMS issues before even the Ultra 64 was announced. They were talking about Mario Kart 2 and how it's going to have full play of split screen using the multi-tap, and Magi Koopa was going to be a character and stuff. Maybe I'm just imagining it. But yeah, Mario Kart's awesome series. If you haven't heard of it before. Why are you listening to this podcast?
You're a strange, strange individual.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, we'll take another quick break, and then we've got some site goings-ons to talk about, and we'll wrap this up. See, James, I didn't do any stupid segues that time about wrapping stuff up. Tight and whatnot.
About tightness.
Yeah.
What?
Tight.
Weirdo.
Tightness.
So tight.
Break after this. And we're back. James, you're the community manager. What's been going on on the site? No reviews? There have been reviews.
There hasn't.
Kingdom Hearts.
It's a little dead at the moment.
There hasn't been anything.
It's been a month since we had the episode. There's got to be stuff.
Okay, so what have we got? I'm just going to assume that... I'm just going to go through what we've got. The last things that we reviewed was Theatre Rhythm, for 3DS, then we had Project Zero 2 for Wii. Probably the last Wii review we'll ever do, do you reckon?
Well, what else is coming out?
Yeah, I don't know.
That new Rhythm Heaven game, that's, no one, has anyone got that?
If that comes
out. Yeah, so Project Zero 2 for Wii, which is an amazing game, and you should all buy it, even if it scares the shit out of you, you should all buy it. It could possibly...
There's actually a new Wii game I'm interested in getting.
What's...
The new Inazuma 11 game's coming to Europe for Wii.
Is that that, like, soccer game?
Yeah, soccer RPG.
Anyway. I love them. And then...
Oh my god, a Furby.
Kingdom Hearts 3D, which we talked about today. If you want to read a little bit more in-depth impressions about it, the review is up. And New Super Mario Bros. 2, of course. On top of that, if you've got any questions about the 3DS XL before you jump in, the book has written a really good guide on the website about everything you need to know. He's covered pretty much everything, and yet people still seem to be asking him questions that are answered on that page, so maybe save both of yourselves the time and check it out. There's also about, I think there's about 30 minutes of video of it. Has anyone watched it?
He put up quite extensive,
very in-depth videos of the console itself, so you can have a look at it without actually having to buy one. Just in case you're still on the fence, I think he's got a blue one. That's pretty much it for now. The Mario Kart 20th anniversary article should be up soon, if not already by the time you hear this. That's it. We need Wii U, people.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think that's it. As always, if you're listening to us just for iTunes, join the forums. There's always the backloggery challenge
www.books. It's like books, but with a V.
With a V, yes.
Find us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. If you are listening on iTunes, because I hadn't done it before, but we've actually got reviews on there. And they were kind of good. So if you like us, leave a review. Or, just give us feedback, because we don't know what we're doing wrong.
Have reviews?
Yeah, I know, right? That's great.
Who did them? Yeah.
Me.
I have to get iTunes up, you know. Yeah. But yeah, that was great. I was sort of feeling a bit down about the podcast for a while. And then those, and I'm like, oh, go us. I think that's... it. There's no Wi-Fi nights that I know of coming up.
I think Phantom Ganon said he might organise one for Mario Kart with the 20th anniversary, but I'm not sure what stage he's at with that.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm looking, let's go to reviews for most recent. The most recent review is from some guy called Jab Jabs, from the 23rd of July. I have gone through many local podcasts and have been very disappointed, but this isn't one of them. Very fresh and very pleasant as a whole. This is everything you will need in relation to Nintendo.
Oh, we should give Jab Jab a hug hug.
We should give him a prize.
Well, okay, look. I've got some games lying around. I've got a Kamiden for DS. I have got a power copy of Solitaire Robo. I have got... I think I've got an extra copy of Zack and Wiki. But, I mean, I've got some free games to offer. Definitely those two. Solitaire Robo... No, well, what I do, I come in and Solitaire Robo for now. So, if people want to give us some reviews on between now and the next episode on iTunes, and then we'll randomly select a review, and then you will win a prize. I don't know how we're going to organise that, though, because can you find people's names or something?
We'll work it out.
Good point. Maybe ask them to include an email address or something in the review.
Yeah. Do it. Oh, well, no, I don't want people putting their email addresses out. Look. Oh, yeah. Save it for now, but next episode I will have something in mind for actually what to do with all these games I've got lying around. So definitely a podcast competition coming up soon. On that note, this has been going on way too long, so I think we'll end it now before we get into more talks about how cute Toadette is.
How underappreciated she is, I guess.
Right.
Thanks for joining us. Thank you for joining me, James and Scott. And we'll see you hopefully in 2 weeks, even if it's just like something for 40 minutes for once. But we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
See ya. Yeah.